You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. My name is Rachel Langston, and I can assure you that you have never seen me on a platform here at Dawson. But if you've listened to the Women's Ministry podcast, you've heard me because I'm usually the host, at least one of them. Tonight, we have three women who are going to share somewhat in a little bit of a podcast format, but about practicing the presence of God. And so they're going to tell you who they are, and they're going to give us some insight into what it looks like to practice the presence of God. So, Mary, let's start with you.
Is it on?
Yes. So tell us who you are and tell us what kind of stage you are in your life.
Okay. My name is Mary Sunday. I work part-time here at the church in the finance office. And when I'm not here, I have three little girls at home. My oldest is five, and I have twins that are three, almost four. So my life is very busy, loud, chaotic, beautiful, scary, highs and lows, very extreme every day. That's
I would
the
imagine
season
so.
Of life I'm in right now, for sure.
All right, Stacia, you want to share?
I'm Stacia Gaines. My season of life is the exact opposite of what you described. And I've got to tell you, it's really beautiful. Just to give you hope. I've been widowed since June of 2023 when my husband took his life. I've got two grown kids, but I live alone with my dog, Shelby, who is my companion and my TV watching buddy. I am a consultant, an HR consultant, doing the predictive index, but my real passion is for helping others through their grief. After my husband died, the Lord gave me these tools, and he gave me a term, surthrival. And I didn't know at the time what I was going to do with it other than surthrive my own grief journey. But through these tools, the Lord just has blessed me in immeasurable ways and just been the kindest, most bespoke Savior and Lord. And so what I am doing very soon is I am launching a podcast called Surthrival. I've already recorded four episodes and have another one ready to record. But my passion and my purpose, I think, for at least this season of my life, is to share with those who may be going through grief or know someone who is grieving, ways and tools that you can not just survive, but thrive.
My name is Caroline Myers. I'm a college student, so somewhere completely different, but somewhat, I don't know, comparative to y'all's life stages.
You'll get here someday.
I try to not stay busy. I would say I have a very full life as a college student. I'm a senior, so right now getting into the scary thing that is post-grad. I have class. I do nanny for four kids, which if any of you have four kids, I genuinely don't know how you do it because it is a lot. And I am an intern here with Kristen. And I also just love walking with girls younger than me in my free time. So I also am a little bit of a granny. So I do like to go to bed at 8:30 or 9. So I'm a horrible college student, but somewhere still in the throes of all of that. So a fun, kind of crazy, weird, amazing, and sweet phase of life. So
obviously, we've got a variety of stages represented. So what does it look like for you to seek the Lord at this time in your life? And really also, what does it look like just to find time to come before the Lord at this time in your life? Caroline, you can start that one.
The Lord has been so kind in the ways that he meets me. I feel like I really do enjoy the routine of having classes. Of that, I get to have like a morning start time, which helps me have a quiet time in the morning. But I think what the freedom I found in the fact that we don't have to limit the Lord to that quiet time we have in the morning, or maybe if that's hard for you, maybe afternoon or evening time. But, in this anytime throughout the day, I can seek him in prayer has become something that has really changed the way I've sought the Lord. I also, have been challenged to begin being still before the Lord, in stillness and silence. And the reason I know, not just because it's biblical, but the reason I know I should do it is because all of me doesn't want to. I don't like stillness and silence. My whole body feels like this when, people say to do it. So I think the Lord is really, gracious to allow me to keep on working on that. And he's met me there, in this peace that doesn't make sense, in that stillness. And also when you're still, I feel like there's this very raw form of yourself that like almost bubbles to the surface. You can't like distract, and hide some of those parts of yourself when you're still. And so I feel like you get to like work through a lot of real things in stillness and silence before the Lord. So that's a brief answer, but.
Because I live alone and I'm independent in terms of my work, I have a lot of wide places in my life. And I recognized not too long ago that for the first time in my entire life, I lived alone. And I don't have to be at work at 8 o'clock. And so my morning, it starts when I wake up. And I have my coffee and I have a quiet time for as long as I want to. It's a lot of different things. I have a Bible app, that has a verse of a day and a devotion that I do every morning. But sometimes the Lord, I'll just get curious about something or the Holy Spirit will speak to me and I'll just kind of go off on a bit of a biblical tangent and I'll just go seeking and searching. But one of the favorite things that I started doing about 2 years ago, and this is maybe why Kristen asked me to be on this panel, is I was going through a very, very difficult time in my life. I mean, just everything in my life was stressful. My aging father had dementia and he was being really ugly to my mom. I was trying to finish my MBA and doing like classes that were so hard for me. Was having struggles with my husband's depression. I'd had a work change and it was not welcome. And so, I mean, like just literally every area of my life, I was just, I can't do this anymore. I had somebody who told me about an intercessory prayer ministry. And so I did that and they prayed for me. And there was so much that came from that 2-hour session that I really felt the need for a silent retreat. So somebody from Dawson had a place and I spent the day on Smith Lake by myself. And I took with me my colored pencils, my hymnal, devotional books, my Bible, drawing pads, and I spent the day in total silence, except when I was singing or talking out loud to God. And at that point, I started this discipline of drawing. And I'm going to put it down, and I'm just going to show you. I determined that words are great, but even when I write words in my journal, I do them with different colored pens. I like colors, as you can see. I like colors. I use colored pencils. And this is from that day. So, it's scribbles. I am not an artist. But I find that when you draw or when you use a creative, you could write music or you could write poetry or you could sing or you could dance. When you do something creative, it uses a different part of your brain. Whereas most of us just have this inner monologue going on most of the time where we're, I've got to do this and this is worrying me. But if you will find one of the tenets for survival is feel the feels. The second tenet is express the feels. So you can feel them, but if you don't find a healthy way to express them, then they just stayed all bottled up inside of you and eat you alive. So drawing and writing in my journal, so I have drawing journals and I have writing journals that I also draw in. And I just let the Spirit move me, whatever I'm feeling and whatever the Holy Spirit says. One other thing that I found to be really, really helpful is the Japanese have a term called nature bathing or forest bathing. And I recently went with a friend to California to the giant sequoias. And we would just find a quiet spot and we would just sit and I would draw. We would read John Muir or the Bible and we just enjoyed being in nature. Nature is a healing thing. If you're stressed, if you've got a lot going on in your life and you think, I think I'll get a donut, maybe a dozen donuts. If you will bypass Krispy Kreme and go on to a nature preserve, I guarantee you'll feel a lot better and your waist will look a lot better. So I would say do something creative with your feelings, express them, and also get out in nature.
So Mary, I'm sure you can relate to your quiet time lasting as long as you want it to.
Right. No, not at all.
Tell us about yours.
Well, I did when I became a young mom and I had 3 kids in 18 months, that really rocked my world a little bit. And I definitely felt totally out of control of my time. It was very tired and it was very hard for me to, you know, wake up in the morning and especially before the kids wake up and spend time, you know, reading my Bible and things like that. And that was really weighing on me for a long time. Cause I just felt like I was failing, not feeling like I had enough energy or time for that, in my life and giving so much to my kids. But I went on a quiet retreat, a Dawson Women quiet retreat this past year. And my favorite thing about the retreat is how unrushed it was. It was kind of like what we're doing tonight, very go at your own pace, be slow, don't feel like you have to hurry to go anywhere. And it was really a life-changing revelation for me because God led me to just take a walk in the morning, just get out of bed and go for a walk. And that's how you can spend time with me in this crazy busy season of your life. I leave my phone at home on purpose. And I just walk around my neighborhood in the quiet, kind of like what you were saying about being, something happens really when you get out in nature and just walk around. It resets
everything, all my priorities. I can just spend that time focusing on God, getting away from my house, which is very distracting and loud. And for me right now, it's just been such a blessing to have that time of quiet. And if you see me walking around Homewood at 6 a.m. in the morning, I am like picking flowers and looking at the trees, and I look like a crazy person. But like when you get out and just see God's creation, you're just in awe of it. And it just reminds you of all the things that you're worried about and scared of, or, you know, been placing giving so much power in your life. It kind of puts things in perspective. And so for me, that has helped a lot.
So if we see you walking around Homewood, you don't want us to bother you, right?
You can say, hey.
We can wave, but we don't want to. Yeah. I think it's interesting that in the various stages that y'all represent and the various ways that you're telling us that you connect with the Lord, that there's the potential that it changes in different times and in different stages. Caroline, you're probably more likely to have a quick moment in between a lot of other things. Mary, you probably have more quick moments throughout your day after your walk. In whatever way that you seek the Lord, kind of as we wrap up, tell us a little bit about how he meets you there and what that looks like, what that looks like, and how you know that he hears you, he sees you, and that he's meeting you in these moments.
Yeah. For me, it's when I go on my walks and I'm spending that intentional time with the Lord, I feel very at peace when I'm outside, away from the chaos, away from the noise, and I can get quiet and focus my thoughts on him. It's a peace that I feel like I don't get in a lot of other areas in my life. And so it's such a comfort to feel like I don't have to perform or do all these things before God shows up and his presence is there. I can feel it immediately when I step out of my door, take a deep breath, and I'm like, okay, this is our time together. Like, let's hash some things out, or let's talk. Let me tell you about all my worries you already know about, but it makes me feel better. And it's just, it has become something that is, you know, I feel like I can't live without at this point. Cause every time I do it, it's just a reset of, just having conversation time with the Lord and him always, you know, just that feeling of him saying, I love you. I'm here. I'm with you. You don't have to do anything for me to be in your presence. All you have to do is just fix your thoughts and your eyes on me, and we're together. And that's a beautiful thing.
So I've already kind of mentioned how when I'm drawing or journaling, the Lord just really speaks to me. He also has been very present for me through the church. And I don't just mean Dawson. I mean my community of believers that surround me. For example, I had a couple of women who, when I was coming back from my 2 weeks at the beach, after Matt had died, they put scripture all throughout my house. I'm still finding them like in a random closet or drawer. And I had two other friends who met me on my front porch and brought dinner and brought games, and we told stories. And so God has really met me in this time of my life and in my time of need through others a great deal. And I've found, and this is, when someone is grieving, the one thing they have in common is they need to be seen. A lot of times people don't know what to do when someone's grieving. The only way you can really mess up is just to do nothing. That's it. I mean, you know, stay away from the platitudes, but the only way to really mess up is be like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm just not going to say a thing. So I have found my friends to be just one of the ways that God has showed up for me. And then, like, because I get to spend so much time with Him each morning, and I have so much time to think and be and feel, I also hear the Holy Spirit a lot more clearly and loudly than I did when I had preschoolers or I had a job that I went to every day. And so I really just try to listen to Him. And if you listen to the Lord, He will always, always put somebody on your heart that needs you. I can't tell you how many times a friend has said, I cannot believe you texted me that scripture, or I'll send an audible prayer to someone, just praying for them and their situation. So being present for others also blesses us. So I think that's another kind of thing that is a byproduct of letting the Lord come to you, is He helps you see how you can be a blessing and minister to others.
I would say the Lord, in the times that I have in the morning or throughout the day, it's almost like tapping into this source of like strength and peace. And I feel like we live so much of our lives, especially I feel like college students, this like looking in at ourselves the whole time and just like thinking about all things that we need to do and need to be and all these things that are going on in our life. And then when I like spend time with the Lord, it's almost like my gaze is able to shift up to Him, and I can like see others around me more clearly. And I feel like there's a very noticeable difference in my days apart when I am able to have that time in the Lord, or if I end up oversleeping, which does happen. But I feel like I've been wrestling with this like discipline and freedom aspect in my quiet times of like discipline, but like, shouldn't I like desire to want to do this? Like, what do I do with that? And I think I've been praying through it a lot. And it's like, sometimes discipline gets me to the point of like opening up my Bible, of journaling, praying, whatever it is that my quiet time looks like that. But that's then when the freedom almost takes over after that, of I realize, oh, this is what I was made for. Like, I was made to just be with you. So sometimes it takes the discipline for me to do it when I'm exhausted, I'm in the middle of stepsing or whatever it is. But then when I like open it up, it's almost this like, oh, but this is rest for my soul. And I think really quickly, I went on a stillness retreat, which I think it's funny that all of us have talked about that. But I went on a stillness retreat, and it was at a camp that I had worked at. They hosted it for their staff, and they were like, we like spent the night and wake up. They're like, you're going to spend 8 hours alone. And I said, I'm sorry, what? I was like, no way. And so like, I had all these Bible study things ready. I had these books that I was like, I could be reading these books, and I had my journal and my devotional, because I was so scared of what do I do when I don't have all of these things. And also it was like some of my friends were around me that we hadn't seen in a while. And I was like sitting there, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything until I feel the Lord's presence. And so I sat there like so. And I got so mad at the Lord. I mean, I was angry. And I like see my friend was walking around, and she had gotten really bored that she was seeing how far she could swing her arm up. She was losing it, but I was just so, I'm sorry. It was a low point, but also such a pivotal moment in both of our lives. But I had gotten mad at the Lord because I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm wanting to feel you so badly. Why don't I feel you? And I started literally marching through the woods in a hike. And I was like, Lord, like, I mean, so mad. And I sit down and I'm like on the brink of tears. I'm like, I'm going to have a faith crisis. And then I just sat there and I just felt this subtle and simple peace and contentment in being still. It was not something that was crazy. The Lord didn't come in a booming fire beside me. There wasn't some crazy thing, but it was just this simple peace. And I sat there for hours on end, which is not something I didn't even think I was capable of. And I just sat there and I was like, that was the Lord. Like, that was the Lord with me. That was His presence. And I think it's easy for us to like really want to see something a little bit bigger from the Lord. But it's just that gentle whisper of peace. And I feel like, back to the question, I try to tap into that in my morning times. I don't get to have 7 hours, obviously, but I can almost remember and tap into that peace and stillness and gentle whisper when I spend time with the Lord. And when I stop just doing all these things before Him and instead just sit at His feet and adore Him. So I would say that's how He's met me.
So it strikes me, not only with these women, but just in general, that and the theme of tonight is come and seek, that God really does meet us. He meets us everywhere we are. And but He only does that when we're very intentional about seeking Him. And so as these women have shared, I think it's important for us to remember that He's always there and He's always ready for us to be in His presence, but we have to make the decision and the discipline, have the discipline to seek Him. Thank y'all for sharing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with other women that you think could benefit from hearing about God working in the lives of ordinary women. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit dawsonchurch.org and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.